We're back. Renaissance 149, Leonardo part 38. Fuck me. Nice.
Hey,
38.
Yeah. Well,
episodes.
He deserves Leonardo. It. He deserves that and some more. Let me ask you before we jump on, because we're talking about all these different types of perspective and all these elements of experience and whatever that Leo brings to it. Do you get the sense that Leo was the kind of person, and not only painter, but just this is who he was. I get the sense that he likes to learn the rules of whether here's the rules for painting. Here's the rules for sculpting. Here's the rules for living life or whatever. I get the sense that he wants to learn these rules and then learn how to break them, come up with clever ways to break them. He's not limited. You were saying in the last episode that most people like Vasari assumes that there's one vantage point to a painting. And here's Leo going, no, thank you, Albert. He's like, no, that's not how it works. That's not realistic. And again, he's doing it here. He's learning, he has learned the rules of painting and he's breaking them as much as he can to project what is in his mind onto this wall in the refectory. Just again, pretty amazing guy.
Well, I don't think he's breaking the rules. I mean, Alberti was right in terms of a regular painting. I mean, Alberti wrote 100 years earlier, so he's talking about a painting.
Basic.
On a wall.
Yeah.
You can stand in
101
front, right?
Painting one on a wall.
Yeah. He wasn't thinking about, he wasn't explaining, well, but if you're going to do something the size of a fucking wall... That's a whole other kettle of fish, right? Leonardo was taking what Alberti and Masaccio and who built the fucking dome?
Brunelleschi?
Bruno, thank you. Bruno. These guys, you know, had developed these rules of perspective. Leonardo was just building on top of those for a different scenario, a different situation that they hadn't accommodated.
Just real quick, you mentioned, we mentioned this a lot, that we, believe it or not, are not as exciting as we come across. We read books. Well, Cam reads books. We are standing on the shoulders of giants. And so when you just said what you said about Leonardo studying all those people, picture Leonardo standing on the shoulders of giants. And he's like, yeah, I think I can do better, though. I think I can. You know, I know I can do better. So they were giants until he comes along, but just someone who can shatter everything that came before him, he deserves 38 or 58 episodes, whatever he's going to get.
I agree. We were talking in the last episode about the perspective tricks that he used to create the illusion for the monks as they entered the room, as they were eating in the dining hall, that Jesus... And his tribe, his gang, his boys, the warriors, posse. As he called them, his posse, were there with them. We talked about the lighting a little bit and Jesus is pointing at them as they walked in. He also used some other tricks that I didn't mention last time, like you can't see where the floor meets the walls. It's all hidden by the table because they would have appeared distorted, like it wouldn't have lined up with the floor, because you know it's he's been fucking with the whole thing. You couldn't get it all to work, so cleverly he hid the where the floors join the walls with the table and the tablecloth and all that kind of stuff, right?
So brilliant.
And this is a trick that he learned during his years producing theater in Milan, as you said in the last episode. Because those shows would often involve a room on a stage and they had to make it look like the room was bigger than it actually was. Yeah. So they used...
A backdrop or something.
Perspective illusions in the theater. And he, as you said last time, he's bringing that to the fore with the painting, everything that he's learned. He also had to cram the disciples onto either side of the painting.
Yes.
Because, you know, there's not enough room to get them all seen. They look like they're sitting on each other's laps.
Right.
Some are standing behind others. It's very, very, very crushed and cozy because he didn't have room to fit them all in there nice and comfortably.
Right. I'm sure that when we started researching The Last Supper, the first thing, hopefully, if you don't want me to lose all respect for you, is you went to Mel Brooks's History of the World Part One and watched the, I think it was that movie, The Last Supper scene, where the Leonardo's like, oh no, you're all on different sides. No, no good. You all got to be on that side. Okay, everybody up. Get your ass over there. But that was my research to get ready for this. I just watched that scene over and over.
Yeah, again. That was all the research you did. The entire, well, complete research.
Yeah, but I had fun.
Yeah.
So anyway,
that's all that matters. That's all that matters. People say to me all the time, why do you tolerate Ray Harris?
Why?
And I was like, well, he's having fun. I don't want to disturb his fun. He's having exactly. fun. Leave him alone.
You see a simple creature having fun. Yeah, you don't go over there and kick it.
Yeah. Yeah,
just thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. See a dog lying on the porch licking its own balls? You don't.
Having the time of his life.
You go, it must be good. Yeah. It must be good to be a dog to lick your own balls. I think, wouldn't it be nice to be Ray Harris? You just sit there, you don't do anything. Don't have to work, get paid.
It turns out that you can't go over to the dog and say, can you lick me next? Yeah. The cops frown on that. But the point is, the dog's having a good time. Just leave the dog.
Now, there are other tricks that Leonardo uses that that only make sense, again, if you're in the actual room looking at the painting.
Oh, right.
Like I mentioned before, in the last episode, the light coming through and bathing the right wall of the painting would have reflected the light, the actual direction of the light in the room.
Yeah.
If you look at the shadows from the legs of the table, they're also, you know, matching the direction of the light, which again is, you know, what all painters do. You got to have a single source of light, or you can have multiple sources, but in this case, a single source of light. But again, it would have matched what was in the actual room itself.
Yes.
You talked last time about the tablecloth having fold marks on it, like a monk had just pulled it out of a closet.
The detail that he thought of. Oh my God.
Anyway, but there are other things too that aren't obvious when you look at the painting. But if you zoom in, you can see these things like the platters on the table. The silver platters on the table have river eels sliced up on them with fruit garnish, fruit slices as garnish.
Right.
Now, I don't think river eel is part of a seder, either the early version or the modern version. Right. But they were popular in Italy at the time, and the monks were probably eating them. Now, Leonardo was a vegetarian, but in one of his shopping lists in his notebooks, he has eels and apricots written down,
right,
which he probably bought to study how to paint them.
Sure.
For this painting. So, you know, again, he's creating the illusion for the monks in 1498 that this is a real thing that's happening right now. Not worried about historical accuracy or context here. This is Jesus right now, right here, eating with us, and still not going to pick up the bill.
No. And a very important moment.
It's policy.
Yes. Gods don't pay. Okay, I said that every restaurant I walked into when we were in Australia. Yeah. Gods don't pay.
Yeah.
And they asked me to leave. But it's not the point. Anyway.
Now, the whole thing is a masterclass, really, in the use of theatrics and tricks to create an illusion. You know, just like Jesus pulled off with the cave disappearance and the latest appearances. Like, he was the original Las Vegas musician. A lot of people don't know this, but he took his show to Las Vegas after he left Jerusalem. He went on the road, took his magic show.
Pick a card.
Went to Las Vegas. Right. There's nothing in Las Vegas at the time.
And he went,
like, oh, fuck.
Boom, and made it. Yeah. I dreamed of
Jesus would have loved it. Loved a good magic trick, Jesus.
Yes. How'd you do that? How did you do it? Tell me. Anyway.
Now, for those kids playing at home, pull up the painting. If you haven't already got it in front of you, or if you're driving, don't bother pulling over. Just pull it up. Just say, hey, Google, show me Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper.
And then ask Google to drive the car for you. Go ahead.
The first thing I notice when I look at this, the first thing that jumps out at me as a layman, although now one of the world's leading experts on Leonardo da Vinci, I think, after 38 of course, episodes.
I think I agree. I concur.
Has anyone ever in history talked about Leonardo da Vinci as long as we have? I don't think so.
No.
You go to a documentary. It's 90 minutes long. You go to university.
Yeah.
You're not going to do, even if you do like a fine arts degree, you're not going to do 38 fucking hours of Leonardo da Vinci. Like, no one in the history of the planet has talked about Leonardo da Vinci for as long as we have, I'm quite convinced.
And they're just going to get you to watch some documentaries and bad Italian films. So don't worry about it. You got us.
So speaking as one of the world's leading experts on Leonardo da Vinci, I can say that the first thing that jumps out at me when I look at this is that it's a piece of shit.
Really?
It really has not stood the test of time very well. It's flaky. There's, it's very hard to tell what's going on.
Right. It's confusion.
And it's all Leonardo's fault. And we've talked about this briefly in the past, but we'll go into it again. Like, as we know, Leonardo liked to paint slowly. In fact, really, he didn't like to paint at all. He wasn't a big fan of painting.
Huge pain in the ass.
Yeah, but he liked to paint. If he had to paint, he would like to paint slowly, a bit like Ray making love to a sweet
right hand
sheep.
Right. Okay. Yeah. There we go. It's a better.
Leonardo liked to take his time and savor it. Get it right.
Take your time. Do it right, baby. Sorry, it was a song from the 70s. Sorry.
he would paint a stroke.
Right.
Let it dry for a few days. Then come back and paint another stroke.
Look at it. Go. Let me do that.
I'm done. Right. I'm done for the day. You know. Come in.
And that's how I podcast. Why do you bitch at me all the time?
Oh, well, yeah, I know. So you've got to keep reminding me that you're a genius.
A paragraph a day, whether I want to or not.
That's a lot.
And then I'm spent. I'm exhausted. I have to have a lie down after a good wank. Lie down. Yeah.
A good wank? Is there such thing as a bad wank?
Not the way I do it. I become a master wanker.
We all know.
You know the trick? Oh, don't tell anybody this, but the trick, keep your nails cut, because that's the last thing you want is a surprise at the end. I'll send you the video. But
I grow them long and paint them so it looks like it's some prostitute.
You must switch your grip. You have the switch grip. Okay. Because I do a tight grip, but then the fingernail, the pinky, it's mostly the pinky goes down to the ball sack, and then the fun is over because I just got pierced. Anyway, I don't... How we got onto my hobbies. Let's continue with the painting.
He liked to paint a stroke, leave it for a few days, come back, paint another stroke. But he's building up layers, right? It's layers, Jerry, layers. But you couldn't do that. You couldn't do that on a wall, as we've talked about in the past, with a fresco, which, by the way, means fresh in Italian.
Oh, okay.
You needed to paint onto wet plaster, which meant you had one day to finish the whole thing.
Yes.
At least that section of it. So you might, plaster a bit of a wall. Quick, paint. Then plaster the next part of the wall. Exactly. Paint.
Yes.
Plaster the next part. And then you would have to design your painting in a way where there were lines in the painting that covered up the lines of yesterday's plaster and tomorrow's plaster, because otherwise, it would dry different, and there's going to be creases in there. And
when you explain it like that, and I know that you're accurate, of course Leo could not have done it like that. This is too massive. It's too detailed. He's got too much planning. He needs his lines of perspective. That's simply not going to work for him, but it's okay because he's Leonardo. Surely he's going to figure something else out.
Yeah, no, he was like, well, that's how amateurs do frescoes.
Right, you know.
Yeah. I came to play. So he, of course, this wall already existed, so he's going to paint on drywall.
Sure.
So he figured out what he thought was a super smart method for doing it. He covered it.
Right.
In a layer of ground white stone, first of all.
Right.
Then put on a layer of white lead primer. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he got the ground white stone to stick.
Did he just lick the back of it? I don't know.
Lick the wall. Lick the wall and then throw the powder.
We need your talents. Come here. It's a big wall. Can you do this? I got it. Mm. I got this.
I got it. Hold my beer. Then he used tempera paint, which, as everybody knows, because we've talked about it before, was made with egg yolk and water mixed with some pigment, and in this case, linseed oil and maybe a bit of walnut oil.
Right. So he's trying now, something. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
We know this because of modern scientific analyses of the wall. And they've discovered that he experimented with different sort of proportions of oil and tempera in different parts of the painting,
right?
I guess, to make it brighter or lighter or whatever.
Are you disappointed at this point? I would have thought that Leo would have worked out the perfect way to do it.
Well, he needed to do it. Well, you know, yes, and different. He needed different combinations for different parts of the painting, I think. Right. Like the robes are going to be richer than the walls and the tablecloth. And some, you know, you needed richer colors in some areas, lighter colors, you know.
I get that.
Transparence. Some layers need to be transparent.
Because there's going to be a variety in colors.
See, opaque. Yes. Yeah.
Now, I get that, but I guess my assumption was, a man who can stare at a dragonfly wings for hours and write this shit down might have said, okay, this is something new for me. So I'm going to try a whole bunch of different experiments somewhere else until I got it down. But again, you're right. He's got the variety of his needs and he probably did think he worked out. And the other part, and I think you mentioned this two episodes ago, it's not like Verrocchio did frescoes. And so Leonardo's got a ton of experience with these things. I don't know if that played a factor in it at all, but so he thinks he's come up with a way to get around the fresco applying paint limitation.
Yeah.
Okay.
He thinks. So he finishes the painting by early 1498, and the Duke Ludovico Sforza rewarded him with a vineyard near the church, which he owned for the rest of his life.
Nice.
That's not a bad bonus.
Yeah.
Hey, here, have a vineyard.
Money. Yeah, yeah. There's a vineyard across the road from my house, and the gentleman, a lovely gentleman who owns it, is not doing well physically. So I've been really nice to his family for the last couple of weeks, hoping that when the will's read, should I say that out loud? I probably shouldn't say that out loud. I shouldn't say that on a recording device either. Okay, scratch that. We're moving on.
There's no law against
hoping,
teabagging some guy so he puts you something in the will. I mean, I'm sure he appreciates it.
That's how I got this job. Anyway, so I will keep.
That's how you keep this job. If you want to keep this job, you better conduct yourself in the Grand Canyon in a couple of weeks.
Message received.
Mm-hmm. Good, good. Unfortunately, Leonardo's whole strategy of tempera paint was fucking shit.
Oh,
within 20 years, it started to flake off the wall. So much for being this great genius. Fucking loser.
No.
Loser. Leonardo the loser.
Is that like a temporary tattoo? Yeah, I can do it and it'll look good, but it's not going to last a long time. Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Within 20 years, it started to flake off when Vasari published his biography on Leonardo 50 years later in 1550. He said the painting was ruined.
Oh, God. Just think if it really was gone forever, that would be... Anyway, sorry. Go ahead.
It pretty much is.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So by 1652, the paint was so faint that the monks felt okay about knocking a hole in the wall. So if you, again, bring up a picture right underneath Jesus, there's a door. Well, it's been plastered over now, but there was a door where Jesus' feet were. You can see all the disciples' feet.
Yes.
But where Jesus' feet would have been, They knocked a hole in the wall and built a door in there.
Let me ask you. It's our first day there. We're brand new initiates, and they take a look at you and they, oh, he's a pretty strapping young lad there. So hey, come with me. I need you to come to the refectory. So we go in there. Oh, look at this amazing but really incredibly faded painting. That's so cool. Yeah. Anyway, so Cam, I want you to take this hammer, get up on that ladder, and where you see Jesus's feet, I want you to knock a hole. Excuse me, sir. Isn't that kind of like crucifying Jesus? No. This is different. There's no nails involved, but we want you to literally knock a hole where there's Jesus' feet. Isn't that blasphemy? Isn't that the 11th or 12th commandment? I don't think you're supposed to fuck up images of Jesus, but I don't know. I could be wrong. I wasn't there.
Well, the point is that by the time they knocked the hole in the wall, you couldn't see Jesus.
So it didn't matter. They thought it truly didn't. Okay. I see.
The paint had all flaked off, so there was nothing to be seen. They were like, it's just a wall. There used to be some, like the guys that are in the monastery in 1652, it's been 150 years since Leonardo painted it. Yeah, this thing has been ruined for 130 years. Yeah. They're like, apparently there was this guy and he did this thing, but it's gone. Let's knock a hole.
We need a door. We need the fucking door. So just put it in.
So over the years, there have now been 6 attempts at restoring this.
Right.
Nearly all of them just making the situation worse.
They raid it. Yes.
Yeah. A bit like when you try and add comments into a podcast. You're just making it worse. You're just digging a hole for yourself.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. Now, the first effort was in 1726.
Right.
You know, that didn't work. That burnt down, fell over. So 50 years later, another guy tried.
Oh, undoing all the work of the first guy.
Yeah, doing it over. And this time he was repainting the faces. Now, people were so outraged at the job that he was doing that he was forced to stop.
Oh, that's bad.
It was a bit like the old lady in Spain like 10 years ago who tried to restore a Renaissance painting of Jesus, and she made him look like a monkey. You remember that story?
It sounds vaguely familiar. I hope she burned in hell for that one, but I don't know.
No, she sells them. She makes a living out of selling them.
Oh, God. I'm in the wrong business. Wrong fucking
monkey
business.
Monkey Christ.
Monkey Christ. See, I'm uncomfortable, and I'm not even a Christian. I'm comfortable.
Cecilia Gimenez was her name. The foothills is a church in the foothills of the Sierra de Moncayo in northeastern Spain.
I can make this better.
The Santuario de Misericordia. There's this old painting of Jesus.
Sure.
And she was 81 years old, 2012, 10 years ago. She's a parishioner.
She shouldn't even be
this
driving.
Painting was, sorry, this painting was flaking. It was like Leonardo's. It was flaking off the wall. So whoever painted it probably went, it was good enough for Leonardo, good enough for me.
Egg whites, egg yolks, whatever.
Yeah. So she painted, she was painting Jesus, and it's a fucking disaster. Now, in her defense, she had to leave town before she'd been able to finish the job. And, people are looking at the incomplete version of it, but that's her story anyway.
Right.
There's now a gallery there, which is a painting of her painting it, which is great. But she, complete. Yeah, so these restorations, attempts to restore the Last Supper painting were complete botch jobs.
Yes.
And people were outraged with this guy in the late 1700s.
Yes.
During the French Revolution, people scratched out the eyes of the apostles.
Oh, dicks.
Because they were atheists.
Yes.
Part of the French Revolution was the abolishment of religion.
Yes.
And they scratched it out. Then the dining hall was used as a prison.
not a bad
prison when you've got a Da Vinci on the wall. I mean, I think every prison should have a Da Vinci on every wall.
Exactly. Yes.
I just watched
the
movie called Let's Go to Prison. Have you ever seen that?
No.
Directed, it's 20 years old, directed by Bob Odenkirk.
Oh, wow.
Starring Will Arnett and Dax Shepard.
Uh-huh.
Now, mostly podcasters, they're stealing our turf. But
millions.
It's not a bad film. It's pretty funny. Yeah. Basically, I won't get into the plot, but a good, not a bad film.
Did I tell you my prison experience, quote unquote? One night I got some edibles. I waited the appropriate amount of time. I got my VR out. And then besides games, you can watch videos. And there are some incredible videos out there. You can go on the International Space Station. You can go in the pyramids. And you feel like you're really there. You really feel like you're there, especially when you're high and you've got a VR strapped to your face. Anyway, there was one video about life in prison in Texas. And all the guys were there, fucking scary looking sons of bitches. I only wet myself a little bit because I'm a real man. And they were basically to saying what life was like in prison in Texas. Obviously, it's horrific. It's worse than you can possibly imagine. You break down into your constituent groups, whites, blacks, Latinos, whatever, you know. And so any friendship you have, all that's gone, you stick with your own kind because that's how you survive. Anyways, so my point is, one, don't go to prison in Texas. Two, don't get high and watch a video about being in prison in Texas, because they're both pretty scary. Anyway, but it was an amazing experience. I don't recommend it.
Have you seen one that's set inside of like a Roman Colosseum, explaining the ins and outs of how the Colosseum
went?
Because I did the voiceover for a 3D VR video about the Colosseum.
I'm going to have to check that because of your Roman accent. That's cool. I didn't know that.
I did it all in Italian. No, the executive producer on my film, Torsten Hoffman, also produced this VR video, and he got me to do the voiceover for it because of my melodious
That's one reason.
Australian accent.
The other reason
I did it.
Couldn't reach me. Go ahead.
I did it in my Queensland accent. I was like, yeah, fucking cunts, look at this. Fucking Colosseum, not fucking bad, eh, mate? Oh, get that up ya.
Get up ya. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some cool videos. So anyway, don't go to prison.
It was for a very niche audience.
Right.
One Nation voters. Australians will understand that joke. We had an election here last weekend. Federal election.
Some guy, I can't pronounce his last name, is now your leader.
Well, it's Albanese, but he's known as just Albo because we're Australians. It's just Albo.
Albo, mate. I can do that.
Albo. Just for the Americans listening, you might be interested in this. So we had a change of government. The Conservative government was voted out. Labor government was voted in.
Nice.
No riots. No one stormed. Any buildings.
Right.
The former Prime Minister Scott Morrison, ScoMo, gracefully conceded defeat on the night of the election, gave a speech, congratulated the new Prime Minister, the new government.
Doesn't sound right either.
No one was shot, no one was killed, no cops were killed.
Do it until you get it right, motherfucker.
I know Americans may not understand the concept of this, but it was peaceful transition of government.
Peaceful transition of power. I think we had those at one point.
And
here's
the other thing Americans won't understand.
Right.
A lot of independents got elected, and a couple of the minor parties, particularly the Greens, got a very large vote.
Good.
So it looks like at this stage the Labor Party may not get enough seats to form government by themselves, what we call a majority government. They're going to have to form a minority government, which means they need to form some sort of deal.
I'll do it.
With the minor parties and the independents, who, by the way, are all the main platform for both the Greens and the independents, who one was mostly about doing something serious about climate change, which neither of the major parties have really done in the last 20 years. So we, you know, we have this version of government here where you can vote for independence, you can, mm-hmm. which I've been advocating for 20 years. The only way to break the power of the two major parties is to vote for minor parties or independence.
Exactly.
And people are always like, well, it's pointless. They're never going to win. You're wasting your vote. I'm like, no, mm-hmm. one day.
Yeah.
And this day has arrived. There was enough nice. Support for the independence.
Yeah,
that enough of them won, and it's a whole new thing here now. It's not, we've had independents before, but never this many. It's
right,
been a growing, growing trend in the last 20 years, independents and minor parties getting more and more power. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out in the political spectrum here over yes. the next few years. Anywho. Back to scratching the eyes out. It was used as a prison, as I said.
Yeah.
Then another restorer tried to remove the painting from the wall, Jesus thinking it was just a normal fresco. That fucked it up even more. He got some bleach out, rag. It's like trying to wash it off. Got yeah. a roller.
Oh.
It's like a guy trying to get graffiti off a, right. like off a fucking bridge or your anus. In Chicago or something.
But that's a whole different...
I don't have graffiti on my anus.
No, the bleach.
Not anymore.
The bleach.
Oh, right, the bleach. That's, yeah.
A clean anus is a happy anus. Please continue.
In the early 20th century, two more cleanings were done.
Right.
Trying to slow down the deterioration.
Mm-hmm.
The church was bombed during World War II.
Yeah.
But the painting was protected by sandbags.
And yet... it was also exposed to the elements. I'm sure that's not helping very much.
The latest restoration was in 1978. Well, it began in 1978.
Right.
It took 21 years.
Fuck.
Now,
yes.
You know, the contractor they brought in originally quoted 6 months.
Right.
$500, 6 months. You looked at it, he went,
in and out.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah. No worries, love. Yeah. 6 months. I reckon we got this. Yeah. $500, I reckon. Like, outside of unexpected circumstances, I reckon. What do you think, Bobby?
Yeah, and it wrapped up by Christmas.
5 months, six months.
6 months.
Seven months. Yeah. 7 months at the top. Yeah, tops, you know, like, yeah,
seven,
you know.
Seven
yeah.
and a half.
Yeah. $500. Look, that doesn't include time and materials, but yeah. Yeah, that's just yeah. I reckon we got it. It's
good.
Like, if
deal.
Anything changes,
right.
We'll give you a what do they call it? Fucking I don't know.
Refund?
An extension.
Or, yeah. Oh,
no,
I get
no,
that too.
A new thing.
Oh,
ended up taking 21 years to get
right.
it done.
Fuck.
Mostly though, because the guy didn't turn up for the first 20 and a half years. He said, look, I said it would take 6 months. I didn't say
when I'd start
when that 6 months yeah. would take place.
Yeah, yeah. Don't start right
he,
now.
He turned up day one.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, listen, it was painted by Leonardo. We're gonna clean it Leonardo Wait, da Vinci
exactly.
style.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Adam?
We're gonna clean one stroke, go away for right. a month, come
See?
Back. Clean another
week.
Stroke.
Yeah.
Go
yeah.
away. You yeah. don't want to rush this.
No.
It's been here on this wall for 500 years. We don't want to.
Perfection. Yeah.
Don't want to rush it.
Baby steps. Yeah. But that's
they
what they
used.
Did. Yeah.
They used infrared to try and work out the original elements of the painting.
Oh. What did Leo do? What did someone else
yeah.
do? That's smart.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the restorers, you know.
And, yeah, yeah.
You know, what do we get rid of? What do we keep? The,
exactly.
the intention was to just have the wall display only what Leonardo painted, but there
far.
Was so little left of
yes.
what Leonardo actually painted.
Too far gone.
Yeah. That, yeah. that wasn't going to help. So they tried to reconstruct it.
Yeah.
Trying to paint it the way it would have originally looked. But in lots of cases, there wasn't even enough left using infrared
right.
for them to work out what would have been yeah. originally there. They had to guess, make it up.
Right. Well, the other part of it was the chief curator, and I won't even try to pronounce her name. I'm going to leave that for you. What she did was she had some elements of her team go over all of the Leo drawings and copies of the paintings that were made while he was still alive. It's like, okay, just in case, because you know there's going to be some part of this that we cannot bring back or can't see to duplicate or whatever. Let's get a sense of Leo's drawing. Let's get a sense of what people saw after he painted it. So we can, if we have to rely on that, we will have that background knowledge. And it sounds like they did end up having to use some of what they learned by going over some of his other drawings.
Yeah, but still at the end of the day, I mean, scholars disagree on it, but I think the general consensus is a bit of a schmozzle.
Yeah.
Art critic Michael Daly wrote that it was a distinctly mongrel work showing alarmingly little original paint and very much alien compensatory and reintegrating new paint.
Damn, that's a little harsh.
It's a piece of shit.
Yeah, but I always find critics who can't do bitch, but whatever. What did you think?
That's what I say about everyone who writes reviews about our shows on iTunes.
What did you think about them? Were they painted and they used a different or lighter color on certain sections to show this is what we did, this is what we think Leonardo left, and we just kind of touched it up again? I mean, is that clever? Is that just being honest when it comes to restoration? This is what we did, this is what we think Leo did.
It's a reasonable approach, but the bottom line is, when you look at the painting, I mean, look, I'm grateful that anything exists. It still is. There's enough surviving where you can tell that it's a masterpiece in perspective,
mm-hmm.
and also in the characterization of the apostles, like we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
You know, the reactions, the shock, the horror on their faces, the mm-hmm. hands. Every character has a different expression.
Oh, he went to town.
You know.
Yeah,
it's like it's admirable. There's enough surviving that we can see that it was probably brilliant in its day.
Right.
But here's the point that I want to make is that despite the fact that it looks like a piece of shit and has looked like a piece of shit for 500 years,
right,
it is still the definitive version of The Last Supper.
Yeah, he's that good. He's that good.
No one has, like,
you go
pull up a painting of The Last Supper, Google painting of The Last Supper, what are you going to get? Leonardo da Vinci.
Right, no one else.
Every single person in the world, over a certain age, old enough,
recognizes.
Yeah, if you say, think about The Last Supper,
boom,
they're going to think of Leonardo da Vinci's painting.
Or if you show it to them.
500 years.
Leonardo. Yes.
500 years. Nobody. Just wanted to emphasize that. Nobody has done a version of this.
Right.
Which is more famous, more popular than Leonardo da Vinci's.
With all the technology we have. I would argue that 500 years from now, someone is going to read or say or see whatever, Pulla Sula, automatically going to think of Cam and Ray. I mean, we are going throughout the ages. Our names will last throughout the ages because of things like that. Stan and Barry, Pulla Sula, one-eyed,
D-back.
D-back, thank you. Immortality, pretty fucking sweet if you ask me. And we're right up there now with Leonardo, almost. Up there with Leonardo. Yeah,
but I don't want that kind of immortality. I want the real thing.
Oh, to put your brain, soul, and penis into a robot? Or your tongue, not your penis. Sorry.
Oh, virtual. I just finished reading last night Greg Egan's Permutation City. Greg Egan's an Australian science fiction author, wrote this book in the mid-90s.
Cool.
And it's basically about a bunch of people that upload themselves into their consciousness into a virtual environment to try and gain immortality.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want real immortality. None of this, wow, your work will be remembered bullshit. Fuck that. Don't care. Yeah. Don't care. Yeah. Don't care. I want to live forever.
Will my robot?
Who wants to live forever? Who wants to live forever? Just don't cut my head off with a broadsword, you Scottish fuck.
Speaking of that, I just want my robot to have full head of hair because if I have to go through that for eternity, I'm due.
No one would recognize your robot, though, if it had hair.
Don't give a fuck. Don't want to talk to anybody anyway.
Listen up!
Yeah. So
I got something to say. It's better to burn out than to fade away.
coffee mug.
Actor's name?
Huh?
Something Brown. Something Brown. Oh. Clancy Brown. Clancy Brown. Yeah. Fucking love Clancy Brown. Starship Troopers. Yes. Starship Troopers.
Yes, yes.
Speaking of which.
Right.
I was showing Fox Free Willy the other day.
Okay.
The original classic. Aww. Michael Ironside is sort of the bad guy in Free Willy. He owns the SeaWorldy park where Willy is being kept captive and, you know, classic Michael Ironside.
I don't know any of the lines from that movie. But.
And Michael Madsen's in it too as the kid's a sort of adoptive father.
Right.
Playing a good guy. Like Michael Madsen is a good guy, doesn't really track, but I love Michael Madsen. He's just, does the thing with the eyebrow. He sort of doesn't raise it like Hunter, my son, can do both eyebrows. He kind of has it up. You know, it's just complete badass look, Michael Madsen.
It's a good look if you can do it.
So here's the point. Still a piece of shit, but still the definitive painting of The Last Supper. Because here's the lesson, and we'll go out with this. Here's the motto and the lesson of all of this, kids.
Yeah.
Even when Leonardo fucked up, he fucked up like a genius.
Yes. He tripped up, not down. He didn't fall. He went up in quality.
So if you're going to fuck up, kids, fuck up big.
Yes.
Fuck up grandly. If you're gonna fuck up, go large or go home. Like, it's my motto in life.
I agree.
If you're gonna fuck up, do it massively. Like, when I started the podcast network 18 years ago, people said this will never work.
Yeah,
I was like, you're probably right, but you know, what's the worst thing that can happen? They go, well, you could lose everything, you could end up broke, and I did. And I was like, well, yeah, but if you're gonna fuck up big.
It, but
right?
You had
go hard.
Fun along the way. So
I did, and I got to meet you, and I met Chrissy. When I met Chrissy, like 4 days later, we decided she was moving to Brisbane and we were gonna get married. I mean,
wow.
People said that's crazy, that never works out. I was like, yeah, I know, but if you're gonna fuck up,
fuck up big,
right? Don't do half measures. Go all the way.
And again, I just want to. She doesn't listen to this show, right?
No.
You're safe.
She doesn't listen to anything I've ever done.
Unless we do true.
Hasn't watched
crime.
My film.
Exactly.
Hasn't read my book.
Nope.
Nothing. Nope. No.
Ain't got time.
She goes, I got to live with you. I don't need to listen and watch all that bullshit, too. Come on.
That's a fair cop. That's.
Yeah.
So again, it's the most amazing Last Supper, probably that ever will be. So not bad again for Leo.
All right. We'll be back next time with more Leonardo da Vinci. I think that's it for The Last Supper, but we'll be back with something else.
Well, before we leave The Last Supper, I have that joke that I have to tell. A husband says that his wife said to him, "You make love to me like a painter." And he goes, "What, like Leonardo da Vinci, smooth strokes, attention to detail, resulting in a masterpiece?" She said, "No, like a council painter. You rush the job, you leave a mess everywhere, and I end up having to finish myself off." So
there's write that or did you steal
it? I did not write. But the point is there's always room for improvement in everybody's life. And I'm done.